welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic, and you are tuned to the only show that gives you the academic evidence as well as the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. Bottom line, it is for us to ensure and to make the states actually do their job. I mean, there is no better clarity than what we find in all of these different documents that we have that point to the states must take action. When the federal government is violating the Constitution, it is up to the states, plurally, collectively, not unanimously, but enough states to enforce their Constitution. If you understand Republic Review, then you'll understand exactly how all of these things are dovetailed. This is why we're going to be connecting the dots once we get through some of this content. And so I'm hoping, I would like to think that after going through Madison's essay on property, it kind of helps you understand the importance of property, not necessarily land property, not necessarily, you know, cars and tangible property that most people refer to property as, but those maybe intangibles, or maybe let's put one tangible in context, the Constitution. The Constitution is actually the property of the states. There is nowhere at any point in time did the states actually said, hey, you know what? But this is no longer our property. It's your property, federal government. You have the full control to go out and create your annotated constitution. You have the full power to do whatever you want to do to us because we have blind faith in you. That is the furthest thing from the truth. This is one of the reasons why I rail on all of these different groups, whether they be, you know, quote unquote, conservative groups like the assemblymen or what have you. It is the sovereign citizen movement, or, you know, I should say, there are different and varying factions of the sovereign citizen movement. And they're all based on what they want you to believe is the truth and fact. The reality is everything that they're pointing to is equally a violation of the Constitution as the Department of Transportation. Which is why we're going to get into the three presidents' vetoes of the Department of Transportation as a content. You know, we kind of lay it all out here, and I haven't probably gone through the entire catalog of the discourse of this show. To be honest, as I was just kind of explaining to Paul Venable, I'm planning on bringing Paul Venable on as a person, a representative of the Constitution Party, but also a patriot, a person that is going beyond just the political, you know, positions of the Constitution Party and actively working to save our Constitution. Not that people in the Constitution Party aren't doing that, but what we want to bring in his perspective as well as the Constitution Party's perspective regarding Republic Review. So what we're doing, and as I was explaining to him, what I do on an annual basis is I go through this content, and each time I go through it, I go through it differently. And I'm hoping I'm getting better at just going through this. It's almost like a curriculum. It's almost like you going and attending Hillsdale College. However, on this show, we'll address the facts. We're not going to address the interpretations and the delusions of others as they point to the Constitution and say, well, this is constitutional, without providing any academic evidence that the states have formally delegated that type of power. A case in point, refugees got into an argument with these dolts on the studies of the Constitution webpage, and I go, are you kidding me? I mean, these people are looking at what's going on our southern border as a civil crisis that, you know, they have a right to be here. And are you kidding me? This is an invasion. Oh, no, an invasion only applies to military. No, it does not. There are different forces that overcome nations and politics. And ergo, there are military combatants that directly, using force, overpower a nation. But there are political combatants by using political force in subverting and overpowering a nation as well. And what we have, whether these people realize it or not, these people are merely pawns to be played in the game of democracy, which is a form of government that does not exist in America, to use democracy to subvert our Constitution and to literally get rid of and set aside our Constitution once and for all. I mean, we're being attacked in so many different ways. It's just mind-boggling, my friends. And every time I look to the east, to Mordor on the Potomac, to put it in proper context, which is Washington, D.C., when I look at Mordor, which is the land of evil in the Hobbit series and or the Lord of the Rings, it is the land of evil. When I look there, I can tell you that there is no intent, no path forward in turning that place of evil around. The only way we can get that place of evil purged of its evil is for the states to do their job. The fact that they are even arguing still to try to make Washington, D.C. a state flies in the face of all of the facts that the framers provided during the ratification debates, that it was to be a parcel of land under the control of Congress and Congress alone, that it was not to be a state. And yet, look at what they're doing today. It's all about trying to gain some kind of political advantage. And I am here to tell you that if you're doing something for political advantage in violation of the Constitution, you are an enemy to the Constitution. And therefore, these people should be revoked from public service in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Another thing I get into an argument about with dolts on the, there's a website that the Institute on the Constitution has, and there's these guys that get out there and they try to tell people that, their interpretation or how they apply and read the Constitution. And I'm going, you know what? You're idiots. You have to look at how it was clearly defined through the debates. As it was defined and bought into, that is how it is, not how you think it is or how the justices and other people might agree with you. It is how it was defined. And to me, if there's any question on what the terms and definitions are, and what they really mean in regards to the Constitution, only the states have that ultimate say of, what that is and what that isn't. Now, putting that aside, I am here to help you, and I'm here to provide you and point to, but I cannot, in all honesty, state as the definitive authority, because I am not. Only the states, when they are united together in the purpose of declaring and defining, does that become a definitive authority. Period. That's it. So, as you know, the show is sponsored by republicreview.org, and I hope all those progressives that I deal with out on social media, as well as Harry, I hope they're listening. I hope that they, start taking notes and start actually going through what I am reading, and then they can find things in the same source documents that refute what I'm saying. Because I'm here to tell you that you will not find anything that refutes from the Federalists what the Federalists said. Now, the Anti-Federalists may have refuted it in the ratification debates, but their argument was rejected because it clearly was for or against. And it was that when it came down to the ultimate decision, they decided the arguments for were accurate and sufficed, safe enough for us to ratify the Constitution and move forward with the newly defined government that the Federalists so kindly and clearly defined for us. So, anyway, I hope they're listening. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, there's a gentleman by the name of Charles that called in, and we're going to be playing his comment as soon as we wrap up with the Whiskey Rebellion. And I'm having this feeling that the Whiskey Rebellion will be probably going through today in the next episode, maybe 2-3 episodes, because I still want to get back to this whole thing on property. But I also want to get through, you know, some other things in context, because I want you to start looking and keep this in mind. Always keep this in the front of your mind. Where would we be had Trump engaged the world? If we would have had a president and a champion of the Constitution and liberty for the world, instead of, you know, trying to fight wars and winning wars, where would we be in the world today if our president and our leader in foreign affairs stood up and said, look, we have no business really trying to regime change or anything like that. We believe in liberty, and we believe in the self-destiny of nations, not of tyrants, but of the nations of people. That we believe that if you, Hong Kong, as a people, choose, you go to the ballots and you choose liberty and choose to apply to become a state in the United States, we will respect that. And I will finish how we would act on that when we come back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so going back to what I was trying to say regarding a true constitutional leader would look at the strife, would look at what's going on in the world today. And the reason why George Washington and the framers did not do this is because at that point in time, we were a peon. We didn't have the ability to really even defend ourselves. And the last thing we wanted to do was stir up the hearts of men to become a part of the land of the free, and to actually become an assimilate, to become a part of this constitutional compact where they obeyed, followed, and embraced the rule of law in our republican form of government. And so what would be going on today had we had a presidential leader? And you can actually go into the, you know, past farther than just now, just farther than just President Trump's term. Go to Coolidge. Go to before Lincoln. Actually, no, I can go before Lincoln, because still at that point in time, we were not a military force, because we weren't designed or trying to become a military force. Now, do we want to take our hats off to Wilson, the progressive who actually made us become this military force to inflict what the globalists wanted? Because, I mean, the League of Nations was Wilson's design. He wanted to discard the Constitution and actually apply this new form of government of communism, global communism. He was the first that really wanted and tried to actualize this. It was a huge supporter in America. He was the first president that actually wanted to subjugate, set aside the Constitution, and subjugate the good people in the states of this republic to global communism. Now, you know, had we looked just before him with Teddy Roosevelt, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive himself. There was no way he was a champion of the Constitution. And so we've really not had one. Now, so I would say the Coolidge is probably a good president to point to, because he may have been a self-prescribed progressive. Most people think he was a conservative. He wasn't. He was really a progressive. But he loved the Constitution. He adored the Constitution and wanted to see the Constitution changed in such a way that would embrace federal government control over labor. He was the champion of the amendment of 1926 for granting the federal government the control over child labor. And the states rejected that. Here you got to look at this fact now. I just threw a fact at you. Here is a fact that they try to amend the Constitution to control child labor, not generic labor. But they just said, you know what, okay, states, you control generic labor, but we want to set standards on child labor. And the states rejected it. But today we have all of these laws, child labor laws, that are coming from the federal government. And the states rejected the fact that they weren't giving that power to the federal government, and yet the federal government is exercising that power. Because they've been able to bamboozle us and soothsay us into their narrative and into their power-grabbing moves. So, let's be clear. What we really want to do here, what I believe is important for us in this process, is to go through all of these facts and tying these things together. But more importantly, before I wander away from this, keep this in the front of your mind. Where would we be had Coolidge or any good champion, maybe Eisenhower, maybe you like Eisenhower. I don't like any of these presidents, because none of these presidents were real champions of the Constitution other than Coolidge, because Coolidge actually used the constitutional process to grant that power. At least he respected it enough to do that, instead of just saying, well, I'm the king, I'm the president, I'll just assert my authority with an executive order. That's how we've had all these presidents. Even Reagan didn't champion the process of amending the Constitution when he wanted to put teeth into the Equal Employment Opportunity Acts and those types of things. I mean, those things were noble, they were nice, but they're still unconstitutional. Until the states actually ratify amendments to the Constitution, what the federal government is doing regarding the ADA, regarding equal rights and all of these things, all of these different acts, all of these different laws that they've come up with that were not and are not in pursuant to the Constitution, but all of them are unconstitutional in its federal tyranny. If you understand tyranny, tyranny is living under arbitrary rule and law. Arbitrary rule and law means that they're making it up as they go along. The only way they can actually make legitimate law is to go to this, either it's in and tied directly to an enumerated power, or they go to the states and they get the states to delegate and enumerate that power in the Constitution. Then, there we go, folks. Now we have a constitutional and legal exercising of a role, responsibility, or power. So, anyhow. Just think where we would be, you know, if Hong Kong had, you know, years ago petitioned
before the Chinese Revolution and the Communist Revolution, had China petitioned to say, we want to become a state of the United States, or Japan, or any other nation? Most of these nations decided to go down the war of conquering, you know, and that path of destruction. Anywho, just think Crimea. Just look at putting things in context today. Estonia and some of these countries in Europe, Ukraine and others, are looking at a very evil move by what's going on in Russia. Same thing with China, with Taiwan and Hong Kong and many of the other states that it has injected itself into and controlling. Not even to not mention the United States, where they have injected themselves. The Communist Party of China has injected itself into our government and into our politics directly. Period. Folks, we have to do something, and this is why we're going to be connecting the dots, so you can understand. You need to get your state you need to get your state legislators educated and to become the teachers or the trainers. We don't have time to teach the people of America, but I do believe those people in America who care and want to know why, you know, these things are unconstitutional, why they're doing these things. That needs to start coming from the state legislators. The champions of the Constitution need to be talking about the truth and teaching their constituents about the truth. And in so doing, this is how people will learn, well, if you don't like the Constitution, there's a process, and it's called the Article 5 process, that if you want the federal government to redistribute wealth, then you have to amend the Constitution. If you want your state government to do the same, you have to amend your constitution. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of democracies and mob rule. But everybody here is looking over their shoulder as if we have implemented that. We haven't. And we can blow this house of cards down by exposing the truth and getting the states to literally just put their lips together and blow. Just blow the house of cards down and it goes away. They have no authority, especially as they expose all of this to the people. The people are going to reel. The military, as those, you know, those supposedly, what do you want to call them? They're basically just, you know, trigger pullers that are going to do anything and everything they're told to do. Not so. I'm telling you that if you look at the surveys in the military today, there are people that are waking up. The only people that are the willing participants in the political agenda are those with political skin in the game in the military. In other words, the homosexuals, the progressives who want socialism. Most of those people that are in the lower ranks, not in the... Remember, I'll tell you right now, I have very little respect for any officer in the military, because as an officer, you become a politician in the military. And you have to prove yourself not to be a politician and truly to be a military leader, which means that you're leading based on the Constitution. Because why? Because every military officer, every person in the military takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, of the Constitution. So when you hear, you know, like General Milley, or you hear anybody espousing political narratives and not espousing the Constitution, that's a political hack. And so every officer, as far as I'm concerned, because of the nature of the design of the military ranks, is likely and highly likely a political hack, a political operative. And when I look at, what's his name, Alan West, I think he's a politician. I do not think that he is an ardent supporter of the Constitution, because you do not hear him. You do not hear him cite and constantly rant and rant like I do about the Constitution. He only uses it when it supports his narrative, but bottom line, he is all about political control. Anyhow, I know these rants kind of go on long, and that's just because there's been a lot that's happened, you know, from my health, you know, surgeries, the ratification base and so forth, that I've not been able to really dive into some of this. But I do want to say this, that if you haven't listened to this past weekend, Samuel Adams Returns, his podcast, who's Tom Nuelis, he's tying things together. And the interesting thing is we had a conversation a week and a half ago, or almost 2 weeks ago. We had a conversation on the phone, and we probably spent, I'm going to say we probably spent a good hour, maybe an hour, or half an hour, 45 minutes, talking about the ratification debates, about the framers' intent and everything else, and the anti-federalists and their positions and so forth. And I will get into that as soon as we come back. Then we can get into content. I'll be right back after these two promos. Hang in there. We'll get to the Whiskey Rebellion. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Now, I do also know that this show has the, let's say, there's a liability. There's a danger with me and the show for many people who are addicted to the cycle of porn news. And when I basically refer to the news cycle now as David Zdinga and Tactical Civics. If you go to Tactical Civics, they basically have identified, and that's why I give them the credit for actually identifying the fact that, and oh, by the way, Mordor on the Potomac, I believe that was Mike Church on, I forget, I don't know if he's on Sirius Radio anymore or not. But he was a conservative talk show host down in, I think, Louisiana. And he called Washington, D.C. Mordor on the Potomac. So credit off to him. I've taken that and I go, okay, that actually sticks. That makes sense to me. And so I got to give credit where credit's due. Anyway, back to Tactical Civics and the porn cycle of news. It is so enthralling. It's just so consuming that people cannot get away from talking about, you know, General Miley or all of these things that are going on today. And this is why, you know, when I actually talk about the news, I actually look at it in context as more of a marketing and or selling. That's what we call it, marketing and or a selling point. What is it going to take for you to realize just how bad it is? What is it going to take for, because bottom line, we cannot be effective if we do not know what we're doing and we do not know why we have to do this. So it is important to kind of lay out in a historical context what, how, and why we got where we got, and what and how, why Washington, or not Washington, Madison and Jefferson did exactly what they did when the Constitution was being violated. The show really connects the dots, but it doesn't connect the dots in a 5-minute. There's no such thing as a 90-second elevator pitch to put this all together for you. You do have to go through this content so that you understand irrefutably how the Constitution was defined. You have to understand irrefutably how we started wandering and how unconstitutional interpretations and injections were placed into our government and into law, so that you can look and say, wow, this really is a house of cards. I am not speaking out of context. These are all based on the academic evidence. The federal government is operating so far outside of its boundaries, and it's all pre-assumed. It has no authority in doing this. Therefore, it is a house of cards. It cannot stand. If the states choose to stand and say, you're exercising powers we never formally delegated to you, cease and desist, and dismantle this, and dismantle that, and, you know, Department of Education, Department of Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services, so forth and so on, the FBI, the Department of Justice. I mean, literally, they have no authority to do this, period. Anywho, let me just, before we dive into, I still need to talk about Tom New Ellis. So let me just do that. In this conversation with Tom New Ellis, we kind of went through and kind of refreshed, you know, the framers' positions and so forth. And I kind of emphasized the importance of what really Republic Review is and so forth. So I believe I'm probably going to be appearing on his show in a couple of weeks. And we're going to be talking about Republic Review to his listeners so that they can get their arms around this. I'm hoping, and what I'd like is I'm hoping to get Tom and others to become champions for Republic Review, that they become the articulate leaders in their region. And so Tom is in the Ohio area, and I believe many people on Red State Talk Radio actually, you know, hear this show, and, you know, because Red State Talk Radio actually broadcasts in Ohio, I believe it's Cleveland. And if you stay tuned during the hour or the 5-minute, you know, pause between one host and the next, they usually identify by call sign the Cleveland radio station that broadcasts Red State Talk Radio. So anyway, we need to get Red State Talk Radio being broadcast in every major city and even in the rural areas. It would be great to see many of the small rural radio station owners, instead of paying for these syndicated people, and this kind of is a hope and desire. If you want to help fund Republic Review, and so what we probably want to do is, you know, maybe put a fundraiser, because I actually put out the, you know, a social funding campaign on GoFundMe, basically for Reclaiming the Republic. But that was very specific money that was for, you know, just, you know, me to go around, travel, and to help spread the idea. Well, now that I'm traveling and spreading the idea, I still need money for reimbursement. And GoFundMe was so gracious to actually close that account on me that what I have to do is probably set up another fund to actually fund for buying a radio streaming and or a radio station so that we can actually assume control of content. And the radio station would be aptly called or be a part of the Reclaiming the Republic network, because what we'd want is to have a TV station as well. We want to have all the different mediums of information and education so that you can start learning the truth about what we can do, what powers we have, what the powers the federal government doesn't have, all of these things that we go through in this curriculum that I was going through with Paul Venable on. And so what we want to do is, maybe I will do that. Maybe I will get that out there so that people can understand what would be a part of this Red State Talk Radio. Well, it would be, people and advocates, subject matter experts, like Trevor Lawton would definitely be a host on, and whether he wanted to do it weekly, monthly, or daily, it'd be up to these guys. But what we want is somebody that has subject matter expert level expertise, like Trevor Lawton, on communism and communist infiltration into America and politics and everything else. He needs to be on the show because he supports the state action of interposition, the state's taking on Republic Review and forcing the federal government into compliance. He's a huge advocate. He wrote that article that I told you about a while ago, back in March, I think, in Epoch Times. If you haven't read it, go read it. I think I still have a link to it somewhere on Reclaiming the Republic. Anyway, so maybe that's what we'll do, is we'll put up that crowdfunding, because I am not looking, and nor am I wanting, nor have I ever taken a penny to put into my own pocket. God forbid I replace the thousands and thousands of dollars of my retirement that I am spending on this. None of this has to go to actually glorifying my enterprise or for me to actually become something. If I'm going to be an entrepreneurial, it will not be because of politics. I'm in the same position and I have the same paradigm as the framers. We have a civic responsibility. We have a citizen's obligation to do everything we can to save this Constitution. And so we have to work together. If you're going to tell me, well, I got to be paid to do this, then I'm looking at you. Are these people out there that are all padding their wallets to teach and do these things as nothing more than evangelical conservatives that are out there putting their hand out serving mammon because they are not putting aside their self-interest for the greater good for their posterity? So if you understand how the framers, they didn't do this to serve themselves. They didn't do this to create their own, institute or their own, courses on the Constitution. Go subscribe to so-and-so's, educational corner or what have you. Are you kidding me? These things are happening because there are billions of dollars in this industry, my friends. This is an indictment to show you that there are many people who have no interest, zero interest, in solving the problem. When you confront a conservative entertainer and say, hey, how'd you like to make this problem go away? Because I had these conversations with many of them, and I will name names later, but I will name one name now. Trevor Lawton. I sat down, we had breakfast together. We had some hot peppers on breakfast, and I got him addicted to heat. And boy, does he love his heat. Anyway, because I love my heat. Anyway, we were sitting there and I said, are you ready to retire? And he looked at me with this big question in his eyes. What do you mean retire? What are you talking about? And I said, are you ready to no longer have to fight evil and the progress of evil in America by beating it and making it go away? Because in essence, when that day comes, what are we to do? You have to retire and go somewhere else. And he looked and he goes, are you kidding me? I'd love to retire. I'd love to be doing something else other than this. And he actually has publicly stated this several times before and even since. Because he said this when we both spoke as keynote speakers down at the Constitution Association in 2016, that's what piqued my interest. This is why we had that breakfast together. And I said, okay, let me tell you about Republic Review, because I knew he didn't understand it. It's just, it takes more time than just 30 minutes at a pulpit or an hour at a pulpit and get somebody to understand this. And so as I fed him and as he looked at all the facts, he became a full supporter, because he does. He's in this, not for self-interest reasons, but, well, actually he has self-interest. We'll be back with that right after these two promos, and then we'll move into Property and the Whiskey Rebellion. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so as we were kind of just talking about, and so it's it's a long monologue, especially when you start going down all these different paths. But before we can get into and kind of summarize the property, and this is what happens when we do this, because it's important to tie all of these things together. You know, Trevor Lawton, and you know, if you look at the framers had no intent of building self-interest. Their professions were law, doing, you know, the small little cases, litigation, farmers, manufacturing. They believed that it was a civic responsibility to be involved in government. And so they wanted to make sure government was limited and small. And the only way you can keep government limited and small is by maintaining that kind of integrity, as well as maintaining that the requisite representation. The problem is we don't have enough representation. If we had the appropriate level of representation in Congress, which would be about 8,000 people, 7,000 or so, if we had that level of representation, there wouldn't be a Congress. Those people would actually be close to us, and we'd be able to keep them in check because they wouldn't be hiding in Washington, D.C. And actually, we would be shutting Washington, D.C. down from being a swamp, because we live in a time and a day and an age where you don't have to be, you know, in one locale for government to function. Just like businesses have learned that they can function long before COVID, they can function via telecommuting and through technology. Government, how come they have not applied that same thing to save money, shutting down the facility costs on, you know, of the federal government and shifting those out to where, you know, the people who desire their representation, and utilizing state houses, county houses, and so forth, and just supplementing a little bit of the office or what have you is cheaper to do that than it would be to rebuild Congress for the appropriate level and constantly rebuilding for a growing republic. But putting that into context, going back to Crimea, going back to Taiwan, Hong Kong, and other states coming in, as other states, and it's going to take, I'm going to say, probably 20 to 50 years for some of these states to be ready, like Hong Kong, to actually be ready to become a state in the union, because it's going to take them a long time for everybody, for enough of the population to speak English, to actually, you know, utilize and transition to our monetary system, to transition to our legal system, so forth and so on. So it's not something that happens overnight. So all of you that are running around going, GR has really lost it, he's blown a gasket. No. When you start looking at it, when everybody is working hard to, you know, be attached to and comply to the United States Constitution, all in an effort to preserve and to cherish liberty, I mean, we're going to find, as we find today, we find that immigrants who have migrated here understand the Constitution and understand what it is to be a real patriot, more so than people that have lived here for generations and generations who have become communists and actually, you know, want to burn American flags. I have a problem with anybody that has been so indoctrinated and so subverted by such doctrine that they want to actually burn that flag, then this is an indictment of our education system and the damage that is being done with the continuance of teaching lies and deceit. I have a hard time finding anybody who truly understands what really happened in history and how things truly unfolded without editorializing, without narrative, and reading the words that these men stated of their day and time. I honestly believe the people would really go, man, this is a great country. And they would start recognizing the good Lord's DNA in our Constitution, in our fundamental founding. Anyway, Trevor Lawton and others would be a part of this Reclaiming the Republic network. And so I'm playing with this idea of standing up crowdfunding for that. But before I do that, tell me what you think. Send me an email, send me a comment, 425-270-5416, or an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and let me know. I mean, would you actually be contributing? Would you help, not just help contribute, but would you help promote this concept? Because I'll take the time and put it all down into a crowdfunding so that I would have the details for Reclaiming the Republic. And we'll put it on Reclaiming the Republic Network, actually as a reclaimingtherepublic.org, as a Republic, Reclaiming the Republic Network page, so that people could go there and read all the details about what this network would be, starting off with a radio station to where we would actually have the control over the content, that every host that we would have that would be a formally, quote unquote, a part of this network would all be ardent supporters for Republic Review. Because bottom line, there is no other process. There is no other process. Not by becoming a sovereign citizen, not by becoming an assemblyman, not by becoming a precinct committeeman, not by becoming, you know, all of these other little nice things to do that other people are getting people to do. And some of these things we do support. We support the NLA. We support people becoming grassroots activists. Yes, we do. But that in itself does not get the federal government into compliance. Your mission has to be in applying these concepts of Republic Review, or Madison and Jefferson's concepts of their interposition efforts, which is Republic Review, onto your local and state governments, and then eventually getting the states and uniting and forcing the federal government into full compliance, period. So, anyway, I know that I'm not really connecting all of the dots. We'll get to connecting more of the dots as we kind of look at the curriculum and what we're going to cover and how we're going to cover that, because I haven't done that in a couple of months. So we'll do that after we get through the property and the whiskey rebellion. So the real thing I wanted to emphasize, so that you understood what we read in that last essay on property, is that property, that every American should understand and recognize that property is our most precious right, that it is interchangeable between a right and property. As Madison said, in a word, a man is said to have right to his property. He may be equally said to have property in his rights. In other words, if you have a right to assemble, that may not be a piece of land that you have a title to, but it is a piece of property that you have because it is your right under the Constitution to assemble. It is your right to petition government. You have property in accessing your government to petition them for the redress of grievances. And I am telling you, the government has not only ignored, but they are directly violating that law. And they're using January 6th as their justification to do so. I'm sorry. If they want to no longer have the people of America petition them for the redress of grievances, they must amend the Constitution, not ignore it, and put up fences and make it illegal for you to enter into Congress on a given day. Because bottom line, this is a nation of the people, for the people, and actually the Constitution was written for and by the states. So the parties to that Constitution, which are we the citizens of the states, as Madison points out, who are the parties to it? We the citizens? We the people? No. It's we the people of the 13 sovereign states, or now we the people of the 50 sovereign states. So if we the people of those sovereign states go to the federal government to petition on any day of the week, we have a right to be there to petition, and they can't close the doors, they can't keep us out. And so sometimes, as we've learned with the civil rights and other things, sometimes civil disobedience may be a necessity, but the way they are spinning the civil disobedience in responding, you know, there were players, there were evil players that tried to institute something a little bit more nefarious, but bottom line, it does not matter. They cannot pass a law. The federal government cannot pass a law. Read the First Amendment. Congress will pass no law. Well, the federal government shall pass no law because now laws aren't being limited by Congress alone, because the Supreme Court seems to be passing laws, and the executive, the president himself, is writing executive orders and law. So now that they're all in the business of making law, the federal government shall not pass a law that actually prohibits our right to petition government, which means that they can't lock the doors, they can't close it down, which is a law, a rule that they enforce. They cannot enforce anything that prohibits us from petitioning them for the redress of grievances. And so what is it going to take for you to wake up and realize that your property has been stolen from you? And if you don't start seizing and doing the civil disobedience and start doing what is necessary in your state and county levels of getting them, your state legislatures, because I'm telling you, I did not go to Washington, D.C., nor will I ever waste my time in Washington, D.C. petitioning government. You need to start petitioning your county commissioners. You need to start petitioning your state legislatures, your sheriffs, and those people. And so we're going to get into this because as I started this show talking about Paul Venable, I am looking for some National Liberty Alliance leaders, one or two, that will come on the show on a regular basis, not to get all stuck into the mire, but to get very specific on Republic Review and how, at the county level, the National Liberty Alliance is supporting Republic Review. Sorry we didn't get into whiskey, but we did kind of wrap up on property. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.